morning, Kansas City. Maybe you've noticed a billboard or two in and around the metro area. A political agenda, a social and moral message, a group that wants to ban marriage. That is, the marriage between church and state. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Joining us today are members of the American Atheists who have their own agenda to keep religion out of the realm of public officials, a controversial aim, while in step with the Bill of Rights and protected by the Constitution. Like religion itself, it stirs up political fervor nonetheless. Lots of American Atheists happen to be in town for the conference that took place recently and otherwise. And joining us now is Sarah Hargreaves, president of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition, and Daryl Ray, speaker and author of books such as The God Virus, and Cole Morgan, an organizer for Free Thought Groups. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks. Good to have us on.
First of all, for the purpose of educating people, how do you define atheist as a group? It's a personal belief, obviously, but how do you define it as a group? Sarah?
Like, how does a Kansas City Atheist Coalition? I mean,
how do you define it?
Start with that.
How do you define it? Right.
Yeah. So I consider atheism. I don't have any demonstrable evidence for the existence of a higher power or a god. And
we have no invisible friends.
And Cole?
Well, it's most of us just don't believe, so we got, I've organized quite a few groups or people to go to and socialize and have educational type talks.
Well, quite simply, it's the absence of any.
Yeah, we don't believe in Zeus. We don't believe in Allah. We don't believe in Yahweh. We don't believe in any of those. So.
Right. Speaking of which, this is considered to be, this area of the country, part of a big loop of the Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. Why did American Atheists choose Kansas City in particular as a convention site? Daryl?
Well, the American Atheists have been having regional conventions all around the country. They had them in Huntsville, Alabama, Florida, California, Minneapolis. And I just contacted Dave Silverman, the head of American Atheists, and said, why don't you come here? Cole Morgan, one of our guests here today, has created a hotbed of atheism right here in Kansas City. There's hundreds and hundreds of people attending different events every month here in Kansas City. So we figured it would be a good place to start.
Cole Morgan, how did you create this hotbed, and did it get a little hot ahead of the conference?
Oh, yeah. Well, it always has. About 5 years ago, a buddy and I, Iggy, just started collecting groups. We started going to some groups like Midwest Skeptic Society, and from there we would just – some groups would close down, like Wyandotte Freethinkers or Northland Group was a group, a year before. And so we just started collecting and just started getting more people like Sarah and Josh Hyde organized some of our other groups, and it just kept growing. And we get in the newspaper, a few TV shows, stuff like this, and so it got us some attention. Put a billboard up in 2008, which did really well for us.
Midwest Skeptic Society, was it a problem getting people into the building and into the actual room with so many skeptics? I don't know.
Yeah. We're not sure about each other, so we argue a lot.
Daryl, you got a book called The God Virus, How Religion Infects Our Lives and Culture. Very harsh, very controversial talk. Tell us about that.
Well, we're seeing it right now in our election cycle. Why is religion such an important component of our presidential candidates? And it didn't used to be. I mean, nobody really cared whether Woodrow Wilson prayed or not. Abraham Lincoln wasn't particularly religious. In fact, he may have been anti-religious. And Thomas Jefferson got elected twice, and he was accused of being an atheist twice. So suddenly, just in the last few years, with the Bush administration, we saw evangelical Christians really injecting themselves into the political debate. And it's causing a good deal of stir among our community, because we don't want religion dictating national policy.
And probably you saw the infusion of religion a little bit before that well during the Reagan era with the religious
right. Oh, went clear back to Jerry Falwell.
Right, absolutely. But regardless of how many have been seen and how powerful groups such as the religious right are, we are still largely a secular nation. So what is the main grievance when you get together and you craft a political agenda? What's the main grievance of the group? You talk about godless government.
That there's a Christian privilege in our culture. Christians are allowed to do things and we are persecuted for doing those same things. For example, there's a group of cheerleaders in Texas this week who've been putting up biblical posters in their high school games. And we're complaining about that, and we're protesting that. But would those same people be happy if Muslim girls cheered with verses from the Quran? Would they allow Hindu people? Would they allow atheists to stand up and quote Einstein? No, they would kick us out, and we see evidence of that throughout the Midwest. There was a girl that was kicked off of her basketball team because she would not pray. She had to go through a lawsuit, won the lawsuit against the Oklahoma, this particular school board. And we see this all across the nation. When we express our beliefs, our ideas about no gods, we get persecuted, whereas Christians can do whatever they want. And we see that as Christian privilege, and it's rampant right now with the evangelical right.
Let's go back to the root of the philosophies behind atheism, if you will. No one's born atheist any more than they're born confessing salvation to Jesus or praising Allah. So you founded a group called Recovering Religionist. And I wanted to preface that to say the New American Atheist Public Relations Director is a former pastor, Teresa McBain, who began work earlier this summer. And there's a bit of an irony in that. Tell us about how that maybe shaped the national message and also recovering religion. So you had a journey toward atheism.
Right. Yeah, I have a master's degree in religion, doctorate's in psychology, but after, I thought I was going to be a minister, so I got my master's degree.
What was your transformative moment? Not to interrupt you, what was your transformative moment?
I don't know that it happened at a moment. It's like a lot of us. I mean,
yeah.
Sarah's the same.
I would say that actually that a lot of atheists I know have what we call a deconversion process. I mean, there's many atheists that I know that are in our groups that were just raised by secular parents and secular homes and were never encouraged to, you know, profess a faith of any particular kind. But many, 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 myself included, you know, I was raised in a Southern Baptist home. I taught Sunday school when I was older, like I was around 18 or 19, and I taught Sunday school in a Mennonite church. I was really heavily involved in an organizer for a church camp where I grew up. So I had a deconversion process, and I'd say many, many similar. And it's like Daryl was saying, that it's a process. It's really, you don't wake up one morning and say, actually, I don't believe in anything that I was raised my entire life believing and have committed large amounts of my time and energy and resources in supporting. It's a long and oftentimes very painful process.
And most people don't choose their religion. You just pick up whatever religion is in your environment, kind of like a cold. You catch the cold that your family has. You don't catch the cold they have in Moscow. And so whatever the religion is around you, that's the one you tend to catch. You don't choose your religion. The religion chooses you. It infects you. That's why I wrote that book. But most of us go through a 10-year cycle of getting out and getting rid of all the stuff that we learned.
Cole Morgan, did you find that to be true?
Not with myself, but with many people in the group.
So you had a reverse road to Damascus moment.
I didn't have much church before I was 10 years old, so I sort of escaped that. Looking back over my life, I was always a skeptic, and I never acted like a Christian. I always acted like an atheist. And when you're saying that we weren't born atheists, I think we were. I think we are. And then we learn from whatever culture we're in to become a Christian, Muslim, whatever.
Yeah. No baby is born with any kind of belief structure, and that's atheism, basically.
Right.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Sarah Hargreaves, president of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition, Daryl Ray, a speaker and author of books such as Recovering Religionist and The God Virus, How Religion Infects Our Lives and Culture. The topic of today is atheism and our local secular movement here in Kansas City. We're talking about the political agendas and origins of atheism in the group and what they hope to accomplish, among other things, during this election season. Kansas City, we're going to ask a really esoteric question. Can church and state ever truly be separated? And if so, how? This is a very hot and contentious topic indeed, but we'd like to hear your thoughts, and let's keep it civil, please. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option, and our Twitter handle is @kcurcst. Now, what happened at the conference last week?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we had a convention here in Overland Park, Kansas. The name of the conference was Patriot and Atheist. And We just assembled an excellent group of speakers and workshop presenters to give talks and workshops about this is just a political theme largely. Friday night we had an excellent debate on same-sex marriage. Dr. John Corvino from Wayne State University came out to speak on the affirmative, and John Mark Miravelli from the School of Faith in Lawrence, Kansas, presented the negative argument for that. And it was $10 to attend, and all the proceeds of that went to Water for People, which is a clean water charity. And a rough estimate I was able to get from our treasurer, Kimberly Dobbs, what she just kind of looking over everything thought we pulled in around $1,300 for Water for People. So I just have to really thank both Dr. John Corvino and John Mark Miravelli from the School of Faith in Lawrence, Kansas, for participating in that debate. And we had, guys, how many in attendance would you say?
I'd say about 225 is what I guess.
Right. Yeah. It was a room full, standing room only. we were bringing chairs
and
all over the place.
Over half of them were Catholics.
Yes. Absolutely. And
John, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, there was three of us at a table, dozens of nuns there.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
We had five Catholics at our table, and there was three of us atheists. It was interesting talk.
It was terrific. And I must say, not to spend too much time on this debate, but it actually was a highlight, I would definitely say, of the event, of the conference. I personally was thanked by no fewer than three Catholics, religious people of some sort, just, they had crosses on kind of thing.
Are these current Catholics or current religious people that are kind of, walking in their faith and coming to explore other points of view?
Well, let me clarify.
Or former.
We specifically structured that to where they wouldn't have to participate. And so Friday night, the debate was from 7 to 9 p.m. Friday night. And then the full-fledged kind of the atheist part of the convention was Saturday and Sunday. And that's why we had the $10 admittance and all the proceeds go to that charity that's both the debate participants agreed upon, because we wanted Catholics and religious people and people who didn't subscribe necessarily to atheism to come and feel comfortable and hear this debate. So that portion was kind of part of the conference, but being aware that there's lots of people that wouldn't be very interested in attending a secular or atheist event. That was just – the Catholics were welcome and felt comfortable, and I'd received thank yous from several individuals just saying this was a great event. Thanks for hosting this, and it was really enjoyable. And then Saturday and Sunday, like I was mentioning, we had the speakers. Daryl Ray spoke, gave a talk called Sex and Our Politics. Catherine Stewart, an investigative journalist, has written a book called The Good News Club, The Religious Rights Assault on America's Children. And she gave a talk about these are after-school programs, but they're specifically targeting elementary school kids. And they advertise themselves as kind of like non-denominational Bible study, but as she goes into depth in her book about, they're not quite exactly what they advertise. We have Sean Lawrence Otto gave an excellent talk, God, Science, and the Elections, talking about a bit of what Daryl was saying earlier about how these how kind of anti-intellectualism or anti-science sentiments actually affects our public policy. I would say it's an important point to make that I and many people who are atheist or secular or whatever, really, I'm not overly concerned about, pardon me, about an individual's personal religious preference at all. I mean, if you're a Catholic, Muslim, Methodist, more power to you. I'm really not interested at all about your personal religious preference. However, if those beliefs then start to seep into public policy, I start to care a whole lot. Women's reproductive rights, I mean, we're seeing that right now about how they're wanting to start to legislate, how women can, exercise their rights to their health care.
And we'll talk about a little bit of the political agenda and what the atheist groups here's political agenda is as the show goes on. We're going to open up the callers here, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. If you want to get involved in our discussion about the separation of church and state, Richard, along I-35, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. My whole thought of the process is there's a place for seriousness. There's a place for being, funny. So you wouldn't crack jokes at a funeral, I don't think there's any place for religion in politics. Let's balance a checkbook. Let's not bring God into it. Let's do what we got to do to run things. And then there's a place for worship on your own, in your own time, away from that. And I think that the focus on religion really seems to bog things down and keeps us away from what we should be doing and what we should be focusing on.
Thank you, Richard. I think you are preaching to the choir of atheists here that we have in the studio. Let's talk about the politics and the intersection of politics and religion. This American atheist movement was born out of a court case that began in 1959 by the Murray family, which challenged prayer recitation in public schools. That case, Murray versus Kirtland, laid the foundation for your political framework today. How do you believe things have changed since that landmark case in 1959? If at all, Daryl, and then we'll go to Cole.
Oh, I think it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot in both directions, though. You've seen the religious right really jump on the thing, oh, you can't pray in school anymore. Well, you know, you can pray in school all you want. You just can't have the state, the teacher, leading the prayer. You can't have the principal leading the prayer. You can't do it over the PA system. But pray all you want before you take the test. We don't care. We don't care if you pray. What we care is when you pray, you make us second-class citizens. When you say everybody in this – everybody has to say the Lord's Prayer, for example. I grew up, I'm a little older than these two, I remember having to say the Lord's Prayer in my classroom. Now, of course, my family was Christian. But if I had children who weren't, if I had Muslim or Hindu Christian, so we've seen that change, but now they're trying to push that back into the schools. On the other side, we've seen we secularists saying, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to stand up and we're going to make some noise. We're going to file lawsuits against school districts and, you know, frankly, city councils are saying prayer. There's lots of city councils saying prayer. So, yeah, it's happening on both sides.
Let's bring in Cole Morgan. He is the organizer of lots of free thought groups here in Kansas City. What do you say, and I'm sure you get this question all the time, but it's very pertinent to this discussion. What do you say to critics who contend that atheism itself is pushing its own political agenda that can at times be as equally dogmatic as religion itself, or is equally as rigid?
Well, you know, too often I think that atheism is considered a world outlook, and it's not. It's just not the belief in God. That's it. If you want to be a humanist, now that's a philosophy of a sort. So I think that's confused too much with that word.
Right. Thank you very much for clearing that up between secular humanism and atheism. Brad in Lee Summit, welcome to Central Standard. Brad?
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Go ahead, Brad.
Yes. I just had a comment regarding a couple statements made just a little bit ago. I didn't come to believe in God until about 10 years ago. And I found it interesting that, you know, you pick up the religion that you're part of your environment, which, believe me, I had none of that in my younger years. And then, you know, when your guests say that they're not allowed or get persecuted for trying to demonstrate their belief, I find that to be the same from a Christian's point of view. And I just wanted to shed the light that, you know, it's not just one-sided that they're being attacked. I think all views are being attacked if you're an atheist or a Christian or, you know, even Muslims, everybody is under attack regardless of what you believe in.
Thank you very much, Brad, for that. And with that, Cole, you actually still attend Bible study groups.
I do. I agree with what he's saying. You know, this is a cultural war going on
right,
in between lots of things. And I do. I go to Bible studies quite often. I think it's very important for Christians and other religions to get to know us.
And you kind of go to study the Bible and then
have them
get to know your
yes,
belief in the absence of God?
Actually, in one of our groups, Provocateurs and Peacemakers,
is ran by
a Christian,
right,
a good friend of ours. Yeah.
Right, and you do have a close relationship with a Christian minister. How does that work?
Well, several of them, yeah, actually. It works very well. I mean, we've had two large events with one in Olathe, and recently we had, about 6 months ago, Ask a Christian at, I believe it was New Life Church in Crossroads. And we got two more coming up, too, after the first of the year.
Predictably, we have a lot of callers calling in to talk about this discussion on the separation between church and state. We have a group of American atheists here in our studio. Here we have Sarah Hargreaves, Daryl Ray, and Cole Morgan. But we're going to go to Jim in Lee Summit now. Jim, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to be considered the, cop-out or whatever. I just recently discovered that what I am is a deist, which in my understanding is I believe that there is some sort of higher power, but I do not believe in any organized religion. I believe that if you want to believe what you want to believe, go for it, you know. So I don't, I'm the guy that's saying, you know, the atheists are right, the Muslims are right, the Catholics are right for them.
Well, you'd fit right in our groups.
Welcome. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd have to slightly.
There's a slight difference. Yeah, and so I'm wondering, do you consider that a cop out, or do you consider? You probably would say no, but because it's kind of like sitting on the fence, you know. But I'm not worried about being judged by God. Because personally, I think God has way more things to worry about than me, and I I'm offended, frankly, about people who pray for themselves as opposed to the greater good. I was on a flight once where somebody said they prayed for a lower cost flight for their airline, and this is the truth. They said that they prayed for a lower cost trip to Barcelona. And they checked the flights before, and it was like $3,000. And then they checked it again, and it was $400. And they thanked God. And I was, like, floored that I had to sit next to them for 8 hours.
Thank you very much for your interesting anecdotes. And a lot of people have this similar reaction to when pro sports athletes score a touchdown.
Yes. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And pray. But Cole Morgan, you had something to say regarding.
Well, I slightly disagree with some of the stuff he's saying. It's you know, as long as your belief, whatever it may be, whatever type of Christian you are, whatever a deist, as long as your book or your rules or your guidelines are fair, and that, I think that's what we're all looking for through a secular point of view, is that let's just be fair to each other.
I would agree 100%, Cole. And then I just thought maybe this was a good segue into clarification a little bit about the purpose of these groups that we have here in Kansas City. Cole is the a major organizer of several free thought, skeptic, atheist groups here in Kansas City. I'm the the president of one, the Kansas City Atheist Coalition. And these groups are primarily the reason behind them is to have a community for nonbelievers. Where a lot of times people, when they find out about these groups, will have a response of like, oh, are you trying to deconvert other people? Are you trying to, quote unquote, proselytize atheism to others? I mean, honestly, not really. We're much more, we do want to like raise awareness that, you know, atheistic exist. You probably have met an atheist. You just may not know it because, you know, people tend to censor that about themselves for fear that, you know, they'll be judged harshly. There are a lot of myths about atheists aren't moral people, aren't compassionate or caring, etc. So on some level, we want to raise awareness that atheists are here in your communities. But are we actively trying to deconvert current Christians or deists or what have you? Not much, much less so. I'm much less interested in that than providing community for those who are already nonbelievers.
Well, our first billboard that we put up, I think, best described that. It was a big billboard with a blue sky, big puffy clouds. It says, "Don't believe in God, you're not alone." And then our website. That's not anti-religious. That's
right.
Not trying anything.
John in St. Joseph, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Central Standard. John?
This is John.
Hello, John.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to the history of the separation of church and state. As you all know, probably that most of our founding fathers were deists. And their concern was the fact that the Christians were persecuting each other because they didn't like the Quakers and the Anabaptists, and they were torturing them and cutting their tongues off and shaving their noses. And then actually in 1555, the Augsburg signed a treaty between the Catholics and Protestants that whoever was king, that's the religion they would follow. So one of the major concerns about separation of church and state is about power rather than just about faith or that process. So our concern was when London and England became the New Jerusalem, and then they came to the United States, and they called it another New Jerusalem because of the stupidity of Reagan in saying the city on the hill, or whatever that crap was about. It was all about Christian power and which sect was going to have control over the thing that happened in Virginia and every other of the new colony. So part of that history about separation of church and state is really about the control of power in which Christian sects can control this country.
Thank you very much, John, for contributing to that conversation and giving us some historical background, learning something new every day on Central Standard. That's our goal. Religious persecution did precede the founding of America.
And that's very accurate history that he just recounted.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's another point that that atheists are really keen to kind of raised to the surface is the idea that the principle of the separation of church and state, the Establishment Clause and the First Amendment, is just as much a protection of someone's religion as it is of my personal lack of belief or lack of religion. For just as for instance, if I went to school and my school teacher is a Methodist and wants to profess her Methodist, his or her Methodist doctrine, but I'm a Muslim. It's a protection for my belief in Allah or my belief in Islam to not allow that Methodist school teacher to prescribe as a state official, like Darrell was pointing out.
Well, right now we're going to canvass the American Atheist, which recently held a regional conference here in Kansas City last week. Alice Smith of KC Currents went out to that atheist conference in Overland Park and got some thoughts from attendees of the American Atheist Convention. Let's check it out right now.
Last Saturday night at the Overland Park Sheraton, the Baltimore Ravens checked in while their fans crowded the lobby. A huge bat mitzvah filled one of the big ballrooms, and the Kansas City Atheist Coalition was in the middle of its weekend-long regional convention. It was held exactly 1 month before the November elections, and as coalition member Veronica Brown explains, that's no accident.
We've got the election coming up in about a month, so, and there are a lot of issues that are kind of bringing us together, especially a lot of feminist issues and just, the kind of the intrusion of God into the government. It's just kind of like, no, we want to all get along. Remember, we're citizens, too. We're very important, and just kind of trying to exercise our voice a little bit.
These days, politicians of all stripes seem to be required to talk about their religion, and a lot of them openly push pro-religious agendas. Separation of church and state doesn't make it into many speeches during campaign season. Like a lot of the people at the convention, Gene Riley says this trend has ramped up considerably in the past decade or so.
At least back to 2004, it's been concerning me, and probably to 2000. There's just an increasing blurring of the lines, it seems to me, that certainly has an impact on the political scene and government in general.
The convention atheists have no shortage of examples when asked about religion intruding into politics. They talk about state-sponsored prayer and school vouchers supporting religious education. And, of course, one name comes up again and again.
Well, everybody loves to go back to Todd Akin, but he seems to be like a lightning rod for an anti-fundamentalist sentiment because he expresses a lot of opinions that are about what a lot of us would refer to as dominionist policy. They say that their particular brand of Christianity is the one that should be running the government because they think they know what's best for everybody. I think that that's particularly dangerous. So when Akin says something like, his particular views about rape or, what brand of Christianity should be making decisions from the White House or in foreign policy and things like that, then I'm like, that's really dangerous because I don't think that any one particular brand of religion has a monopoly on truth.
Another conventioneer, Willard Bollinger, says he's worried about schools not teaching science. He mentions the recently passed Missouri Right to Pray Amendment 2, which allows students to opt out of school assignments that conflict with their faith.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on a test, and I can imagine corporations looking askance, kind of like when Kansas a number of years ago interfered in the science classes because they wanted creation taught in the science classes. They might look askance at whether they want to move here. I wonder about the kids, whether they're going to be able to qualify to get in colleges. I mean, this sounds like it could. I don't know what's going to happen on this.
While the majority of the criticism at the convention was targeted toward conservative politicians and policies, Stephen Olson says politicians on both sides are ignoring separation of church and state.
We've actually seen with both Romney and Obama, they have neglected the separation of church and state. With Obama's expansion of the faith-based initiatives that George Bush started,
the Kansas City Atheist Coalition doesn't have an organized political platform. They say the convention just gives them a chance to meet and express secular ideas that are increasingly vilified.
I think what happens is you tend to sort of stifle yourself in society at large, because traditionally there's been a practice of, you know, the dominating religion, Christianity. People feel pretty much free to say whatever they want, and they just sort of assume that everyone thinks the way they do. So I think there's a real disbelief and abhorrence by people I've met if they realize that you have atheistic views.
While high-profile legal cases over school prayer or reproductive rights seem to inspire a lot of passion in the general public, most of the atheists at the convention say they do all they can to try to avoid emotional confrontations about religion and atheism.
I feel like sometimes it's so contentious and it's so wrapped up in so much emotion that it's really difficult for some people to divorce themselves from the emotion of what the issue is and actually talk about it from a rational point of view. So sometimes those discussions, I just basically just kind of end up being like, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree on this one and kind of move on and see where we do agree and what's, you know. So because I would much rather live in a world where we can all get along rather than in a world where we divide ourselves from one another.
You can hear more of Alex Smith, KCR's Alex Smith, at the Atheist Conference on the next KC Currents. It's on Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. with a repeat Monday night at 8 p.m. We're talking atheism and the separation between church and state. Our in-studio guests are Sarah Hargreaves, president of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition, Daryl Ray, he's a speaker and author of books such as The God Virus, and Cole Morgan, a local organizer for a lot of free thought groups. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we discuss some of the goals of the American Atheist Group during the current election season, that and what they see as the future of church and state in this country. Kansas City, the question of the day continues. Can church and state ever truly be separated? And if so, how? Let's keep this conversation civil. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email in at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option, and our Twitter handle is @KCURCST. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. The argument about the existence and will of God is as old as mankind itself. The famous expression by Nietzsche that God is dead, and the reply countered by a group conjured up from a fake quote from God that Nietzsche is also dead, pretty much encapsulates the argument. But whatever your belief, there are many from both sides of the argument who contend that church should be separated from affairs of state. And with that, Kansas City, the question of the day continues. Can church and state ever truly be separated? And if so, how? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email in your thoughts to centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option. We are at KCURCST on Twitter as well. So joining us now for the second half of the hour, once again, is Sarah Hargreaves, president of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition, Daryl Ray, a speaker and author of books such as The God Virus, and Cole Morgan, an organizer of free thought groups. Let me start off with a question before we go back to the phones. How do you advance your agenda to Christians, Muslims, Hebrews, Hindus, Buddhists, or whatever religious groups who remain strong in their faith, but also believe that government should be separated from religion? They share that belief with you as atheist groups. How do you advance that conversation, Sarah?
I mean, honestly, it's pretty simple. I don't know. I think Veronica Brown in that clip you just played said it really well. We're really not trying to have any kind of special status at all. I'm really not terribly interested in someone's personal belief, but so if I have a conversation with a Catholic or a Muslim, but they agree that, you know, separation of church and state is an important principle in our governments, I simply shake their hand and, I don't know, give them a high five and get a cup of coffee. There's not a lot to be said.
One of the goals of the American Atheist Group is to encourage more atheists to participate in public life and public service. But in many respects, especially on the national stage and in this part of the country, that's considered political suicide. What is your group doing to change that perception for atheists thinking of running for office and participating in government?
Well, we're actually encouraging people to run for office. And there are some people that have done that. there's a fellow in North Carolina that ran for Congress this year and garnered a large percentage of the vote. We were rather pleased with that. And Pete Stark is an out atheist in Congress right now from California. So we are not a political party, and we don't want to be a political party. We just want to encourage people to take the non-religious road towards political. Nobody was asking political candidates in the early 1900s what your religion was. It wasn't a critical issue. And I mean, FDR was ostensibly an Episcopalian, but nobody ever saw him go to church. I mean, these things are just now becoming a part of our culture that they've not been there before. You can certainly say Thomas Jefferson never went to church and even created a Bible that omitted all the miracles from the Bible. Now, that's no Christian for sure. So, you know. But on a slightly different subject, we are the fastest growing demographic in the United States, the non-religious. And the Pew Moral Trust just found that for the first time in history, Protestants are a minority, 48% now. And non-religious are 20%. What we are seeing is thousands of people are leaving religion. And so we started a group called Recovering from Religion 3 years ago, and we've got 150 groups now meeting all around the world, mainly in the United States, to help these people when they leave religion. What we found is there's a lot of trauma when you leave your religion. You get divorced. You get people saying, you know, they don't want to be with you anymore. You lose family, you lose friend. Just saying, I don't want to be a Catholic anymore can get you in big trouble sometimes.
Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, South Carolina all still have laws on their books banning those who don't profess to believe in God from public office. Is the American Atheist Group or you as individuals, as part of that large group, taking a fight to the states at all, to these legislative
stands? Well, that we don't need to do because the U.S. Constitution trumps that. And the Supreme Court has said that those cannot be enforced. Although when Cecil, forgetting his name, in North Carolina became the open out elected council member, a minister in Asheville, North Carolina, sued the city for allowing him to be a council member as an atheist because North Carolina says you must profess a supreme being. He won, obviously. The Supreme Court said, yeah, you can't enforce that.
Let's go to our Facebook comments. We asked folks on Facebook, can church and state ever truly be separated? Why or why not? And should they be? Gabriel on Facebook says, yes, we as a society and world leader more than ever need to keep them separate. Having it happen is another story because a good percentage of people are driven by religious motivations and belief systems. My hope, says Gabriel, is that with education and understanding, people will move beyond the idea of government and as a business and knows it needs to be run as such. But come on, man, he says, literally, quote, come on, man. We can't even have separate the idea that state-sanctioned marriage and church marriage are not the same. So it's going to take some time, sadly. Thank you for your comments on Facebook, Gabriel. We're going to go to Becky in Parkville, part of a very lively discussion here today on Central Standard. Becky, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. I was raised in a Christian household, and as I grew up, I began to look at that information as more academic than having a faith in it. And it provided guidance for me as a child in regards to what's right and wrong. But as an adult with small children now, I struggle because I don't go to church. I don't want to go to church, but I don't have an outlet other than church and school to provide to my children that sort of guidance other than my own personal stuff, which I hope I'm guiding them well individually. But so I would be really curious to know how, I would say, non-believers or non-faith people address that kind of issue.
Sarah, you're clamoring to answer
Becky,
that.
Thank you for calling
Becky,
in.
Thank you very much for your question.
Becky, we love you. Thank you for calling. Actually, I just want to quickly, plug a meetup group here in Kansas City that's called Free Thinking Family Fellowship. It is just one of the many free thought skeptics meetup groups that we keep referencing that Cole has helped organize. This group is organized by a very nice, sweet lady named Charlene, and it's actually less than a year old, but it's easily one of the fastest growing meetup groups in Kansas City. They meet regularly. They have, you know, fantastic events that they host in people's homes, and they're all with the focus of being family friendly to kind of address that issue that you were talking about, Becky, as a parent who maybe doesn't, you know, hold a religious belief, but you want to instill ethics, morals to your children. You want to be a part of a community. Churches do a great job of providing community to mothers, fathers, and their children, having other kids to play with and just places to go, potluck dinners. So this group, the Free Thinking Family Fellowship, mirrors a lot of that. That's those types of potluck dinner gatherings, social gatherings for families to get together. And
we have Camp Quest as well.
Camp Quest Kansas City is coming in the summer of 2013. Look for that coming as well.
We have a comment on Twitter from Bandicoto, that's his Twitter handle, who says, "Let us not forget that most of our founding fathers were not Christians." You are listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Sarah Hargreaves, president of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition. Daryl Ray is a speaker and author of books such as The God Virus. And Cole Morgan is an organizer of Free Thought groups here in Kansas City. And today we're profiling the American Atheist, which held a regional conference here in Kansas City last week. And we're talking about the political agenda of the group and what the group hopes to accomplish during this election season, as well as the intersection between church and state and whether that intersection should exist at all. We've had a very lively conversation from some of our callers, and we're going to return to the phones with Tom from North KC. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thanks, John Belani. Love the show.
Thank you.
My question for you guys, I'm a devout Catholic, and the center of my faith is the first two commandments, love thy God, love thy neighbor. And everything about me is integrated into my life from those two commandments, and that makes up the center of my moral compass. Without it, I wouldn't have that idea of how do I treat this person on the street, because I am called to love them by my God. That's the center of who I am, the center of my faith. My question is, where do you as atheists get your moral compass from? Where does that center of how you interact with the rest of your world come from?
Thank you very much, Tom. The atheists in studio love this question.
Yeah, this question.
Go ahead, Cole Morgan.
It's just a collection. I mean, we all learn things, you know, as a young person from our parents, from our teachers. I think as we grow older, we take that information and we decide for ourselves.
We learn it from our culture.
How we'll act.
Every culture on this planet has a moral code.
Yeah.
Are Muslims immoral? Are Baptists immoral? He says he's a Catholic. Are Catholics more or less moral than a Methodist is or than an atheist? We get our morals from our culture. Every culture on the planet has got moral prescriptions against, for example, murder. So you don't have to have a Ten Commandments to know it's not a good idea to murder other people. You get that from your culture. There are atheist cultures like Russia and China. They're quite moral. In fact, in some ways, they're more moral than us in some areas.
Randall in the Northland, welcome to Central Standard.
Oh, can I answer that question? I'm so sorry.
We have Randall on the air from the Northland.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Sarah.
Okay.
Randall?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I just have one quick comment and then a question. I certainly applaud the courage of convictions, the energy levels, and their good use of critical thinking skills I'm hearing in your panel. And yes, I would definitely support separation of church and state, but like the previous writer, that's going to take a long, long time, I think. But my question is about activism itself. Is why support and get all excited about so much atheist activism and placing billboards and being out in the news if your context, like in my case, has been a non-believer for 40-plus years? It's just not that big an issue to me any form. I think it's more important to separate out mystical thinking from reason, good critical thinking skills. And so the objective seems to me ought to be a much deeper analysis in the things like the philosophy of mind and science and logic. And so we could discover what truths there are to be had from those arenas of study. So I wanted to see what your panel thinks about that approach, not just be seen as dealing with negativity and being critical and irreverent, but dealing more with positive things.
Thank you very much, Randall, for that Cole, you want to come back on that?
I don't think that's, you know, being an activist is not being negative. We're asking questions. I mean, we should be able to ask questions about something we think is unfair. And I think there's a variety of people at different levels that, like you're talking about, you know, education, science, all these things. I think that's what all of our groups are about. We're about social. We're about education, speakers. I think we're a well-rounded group of people in the Kansas City area, all over the United States, I'm sure. So I think that it takes all levels to make a movement happen.
More power to you for your critical thinking. But just remember, you got congressional people out there standing on the science committee in Congress disavowing any kind of science. So there's a problem.
Speaking of legislation, let's move to Missouri Amendment 2, the Missouri House Joint House Resolution that started as Missouri Joint House Resolution number 2, that the school children shall have right to pray and acknowledge God voluntarily in their schools, and that no human authority can control or interfere with the rights of conscience. What are your thoughts on the sort of seemingly even-handed language of that? There's lots of other language, including language in there that has the words God Almighty in the resolution.
Yeah, that's government endorsing religion right there.
But what about the other side of this argument, that people have the right to their faith in a public setting so long as it does not infringe on the rights of others?
They've always had that right. You didn't need to have any amendment, legislative amendment at all. The Supreme Court's held that right forever. Why does the religious right need that? Because they're really trying to say Christians have the upper hand, and we want to make sure you know we can do what we want to do.
What are your thoughts on that recent amendment?
I can't remember the man that drove this in the first place, but his main concern, he said, I read in the Star, was that he was afraid that comparative religious classes would be taught in school. And I thought, he said, you know, you wouldn't want a Christian to learn about a Muslim. You wouldn't want a Muslim learning about a Christian. I think that's so unfair. I mean, this is the whole thing about a secular society. We should know more about each other.
And actually, that bill is actually really dangerous, and the language is really the opening language is really deceptive. It's kind of something that they're highlighting about that bill that everyone can agree with. Like Daryl was saying, this is already a protected right to be able to pray or even vocalize your belief in God. And I mean, what school child ever gets into the principal's office for saying that they believe in God or sharing that belief with their other classmates? Now teachers aren't allowed to, but every school child already holds that right. What the language in that further along in that bill that's never been highlighted is actually and what the new quote-unquote right gives is for kids to, if what they're being taught in school contradicts their religious faith. So as for instance, if they're being taught in biology about evolution and they're being asked to write a paper on that or take a test and provide answers about questions about evolution, they can say, oh, this contradicts my religious beliefs, so I'm not going to do this homework assignments. I'm not going to participate in that. And that's that's so dangerous, in my opinion.
That bill is coming up for consideration in the upcoming November election, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Today we're profiling the American Atheists, which held a regional conference here in Kansas City last week, and we're talking about the political agenda of the group and what the group hopes to accomplish during this election season. And our guests have been Sarah Hargreaves, president of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition, Daryl Ray, a speaker and author of books such as The God Virus, and Cole Morgan, an organizer of Free Thought Groups. We thank you very much for a very lively discussion here today on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And tune in tomorrow as we survey the life of a Kansas City sports legend, Lamar Hunt, and his influences not only on football, but also pro tennis and Major League Soccer. Today's show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon. Up to Date is next with Damien Echols. Hear about his 18 years on death row and his new book called Life After Death. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.